before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Let's turn to page
9.
I once was lost in sin,
but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
And he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer wheel turning,
you'll know
a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Sometimes my path seems drear
without a ray of cheer. And then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry sky. But just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Oh, now let us have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our trouble.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
And he will
answer by and by.
And when you
feel a little prayer wheel turning, you'll know a little fire is burning.
You will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
I may have doubts and fears,
my eyes be filled with tears,
but
Jesus is the friend who watches day and night.
No,
I can go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right, my friend. I'm telling you, that's true every time. If you really get on your face with God and you stay there, sometimes you got to stay there a while. And you stay there until you are fully satisfied that you've touched heaven and that God is being real in your heart and your life. My friend, there's nothing more wonderful than that. There really isn't. I love prayer. Now, we have one of the most important radio programs, television programs, internet programs, whatever, you know, Facebook programs that I could ever bring to you. We do. The husband that loves the mother. I should say the father that loves the mother. The father that loves the mother. Notice what I said now. The father that loves the mother. We're not talking about his mother. We're talking about the mother of his child that she will bear. The father that loves the mother. Now, this is one great Bible subject. And I hope you don't miss a word of it, because I'm going to tell you some things about men. And I'm not going to leave the women now. I'm not going to give them a pass. They have a responsibility also. But I want to deal with the men. I want to deal with why men today are so wimpy. Why our world is going to hell in a basket. Why we are seeing such a degradation in the society, in the church, in the home, why everything seems to be amiss and everything is out of order and life is just going down the tube. Now, there's a lot of things I'm going to tell you today that I want you to remember. I want you to write them down in your mind and on paper if you need to. And I'm going to give you a wonderful article that we have written that is absolutely wonderful. The title is The Father That Loves the Mother. It's a good time. And by the way, it's in a notebook that we have written, and we're now making available. I think I made it available 10 or 15 years ago, but we're redoing it and getting it up to date for you, and we're going to make it available. And the name of this book is a very powerful name, and I want you to hear the name. Well, I'll find it in a moment if I can get everything to come together here. Rediscovering the Biblical Family. Rediscovering the Biblical Family. Now, I'm here to tell you, if ever we have rediscovered the Biblical Family, this day is calling for that kind of action. Well, I don't know a better place to start than with man, the father that loves the mother. The father that loves the mother. I determined many years ago when I was first married that I had to love my wife even as Christ loved the church. I really didn't have to. I wanted to. I did it because I fell in love with her. She was the sweetheart of my life. She is the only woman I've ever kissed in my whole life. I guess there's not many men that can probably say that, but I can sit here and say it to you honestly. She's the only woman I've ever kissed, and she is the only one I wanted to kiss, to be honest with you, and that's the way it should be. But I want to talk to you about the father that loves the mother. I want to try to help you understand what happens in a home when the father is in deep love with the mother, and when the children, the family always can tell you and can see without a doubt that the father loves the mother. Now, something happened to me some time ago that I really don't deserve. It was a kind remark by my elder daughter. I said to her, Teresa, what is the thing you remember most about our home and our family? I want to know what you can remember that really played a part in your life. How do you remember our family? And she said to me, well, Dad, that's easy. I said, easy? Well, tell me. She said, I remember always how much my father loved my mother. And I broke down and cried. How much my father loved my mother. And it even till today, tears flow when I think about that and the joy of making that a life sense, a life attitude, a life dedication, a life responsibility, a life joy, really, a life joy. The father that loved the mother, that loves the mother. Well, it's a biblical thing, very much. And so let's go and see what the Bible says about that. Let's start there. The Bible is the foundation. You see, let me tell you something. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. As God and Christ are the source of power and life to the spiritual world and the spiritual kingdom, a man and mother, a father and mother, are the source of life, the very foundation of life to the natural society, the natural world. I mean, as spirituality cannot exist without God the Father and God the Son, neither can a home life or a natural life or a societal life exist without fathers and mothers, without fathers and mothers. I want to talk about that a lot. I want you to understand that this whole secular world does not exist but by fathers and mothers. And did you know if fathers and mothers quit having babies, it would take about 100 years for the human race to become extinct. We would pass off the scene. The earth would be completely rid of us if fathers and mothers quit having children. The whole bedrock of society, the foundation of the world, the foundation of the natural world is fathers and mothers. Do you understand what I'm saying? That overwhelmed me when the Spirit of the Lord spoke that to my mind and to my heart the last few hours. I mean, it just overwhelmed me. It overwhelmed me that the bedrock of our societal world, that our natural human world is not animals, it's not nature, it's not storms, it's not the cloud, it's not the sun, it's not the moon. It is fathers and mothers. We are the foundation of life, human life. We are the foundation of human life. And don't forget, as God the Father and God his Son is the foundation of spiritual life, fathers and mothers are the foundation of physical life, of societal life, of human life. Do you understand that? And when they play foot and loose with the family, when they play foot and loose with fathers and mothers, they are destroying society. They are destroying society. It is insane. It is insane. The attitude and the action now that has to do with the sodomites and with same-sex marriage and with transgender and all of those erratic, foolish thinking, emotions that's gripping our world. I've got to tell you, they don't know what they're playing with. They're playing with fire. They're playing with human existence. You've got the environmentalists that think because of our fear, our failure, I should say, our failure in matters of the temperature and all the matters of life that the world is going to come to an end. They need to start thinking about human race coming to an end. That's what they need to start thinking about if they don't quit promoting things that destroy the very foundation of human life. Now, do you understand where I'm at today? I hope this gets through to my whole audience all over the world, and I hope you begin to talk about it. Let me take you to the book of Ephesians, because I want you to understand how imperative for us is this idea of man and woman. Now, go with me to the fifth chapter of Ephesians and go to verse 20, that he might go with me quickly. I want you to read this. I want you to hear it because it is extremely important. Now I've got it. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Notice that. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So ought the wives to be with their own husbands in everything. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the real verse that I want you to hear. I want you to listen to this now. It is very important. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Now you see, I compared a while ago spiritual life, the father and the son, with physical life, a father and mother. And now notice how he says this. It's really powerful. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, or loves the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. You love your wife like you love your body. If I don't love my wife like I love my body, I'm a failure and I'm a disgrace and I'm a reprobate. I've always loved my wife even as I loved my own body. Though she's in heaven now, she's still alive, very much alive, and I still love her dearly with all of my heart. And this is so important. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, the reverse of that is he that don't love his wife don't really love himself. And that's very, very true. Now, the very bottom of everything I'm going to say today is we need a new love in the heart of fathers for the mothers. In the heart of fathers for the mothers of their children. A man that will beget a child and then will not love and take care of the mother and care for that child and the mother of that child is a rascal. He is a disgust to society. He is a troublemaker. And much, much sorrow will come out of that treatment of a man's responsibility. Just to have sex with a lady, a mother, a woman, you know, you understand, you can keep all that in context, and then not care for that person and not care for the child that you have begot. My friend, that's a terrible, terrible strain and disgust upon society. And I want you to get this feeling now, because loving your wife is like loving yourself. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He that doesn't love his wife doesn't really love himself, because that child is of him. He is the one who begot that child. You see, you got to understand that we, the father, we are the one who pass on the sin nature. The mother does not pass on the sin nature. The father passes on the sin nature. So whatever that child is the duty and responsibility of that father just as seriously, and maybe a little more, but equal at least, as that mother. And that's what I want to leave you with today. I want you to feel that. I want you to get the burden of that. And you say, but I married her because I got her pregnant, but I don't really care about her. Well, get on your knees, you rascal, you, and pray until you fall in love with her, until she becomes the joy of your life. And the Lord will do that for you if you will let him. I'm here to tell you, he will do that for you if you will let him. Now, this is very responsible, and I don't want you to forget. I've tried to write down as many things as I really feel like we ought to talk about today. And the first, of course, is the idea that society cannot exist without fathers and mothers. Society, human existence cannot exist without fathers and mothers. And please remember, in 100 years approximately, if fathers and mothers had no more children, society would be extinct, or at the very edge of extinction. Now, friend, when you realize that and you think about that, it kind of changes the tune of things. It changes the grasp of things. And then second, you've got to remember that as God and Christ are the very bedrock of a spiritual world and a spiritual existence, so the father and mother are the bedrock of a human existence and human life. We are just as important to human life as God the Father and God the Son are to spiritual life. Now that is overwhelming to me, and I wanted to get a hold of you. And I want you to do something about your family, and do something about your home, and do something about your relationship with your darling wife or your darling husband. And I'm here to tell you, a man that will love his wife as Christ loved the church, he's not going to have anything in most cases. I know there can be an exception somewhere, and I understand that. I'm not trying to forget that there are some people who are too stubborn to do anything right. And they're too determined to go their own way to ever turn around and act right. And I'm aware of that. But I'm also aware of the power of human love, of genuine human love. A man that truly loves his wife, a man that loves her with everything in him, a man that makes her his very darling, that makes her his very joy. I could enjoy holding my wife's hand as much as some men enjoy their passions. I mean, just holding her hand sent thrills down to my toes. You say, you're crazy, Reverend Chambers. I may be, but leave me alone, because I don't want to lose my craziness. I'm here to tell you, what we need is a society that gets back to the right kind of attitude. So, you got to remember, we are absolutely the very joy, the very life and joy. And I'm thrilled with it. I really am. I'm thrilled with my responsibility and what my joy is and what my life is. And don't you forget, my dear friends and brothers and friends all over the world, get back to your responsibility. Get back to your responsibility. Now, don't forget that the family, father and mother, are responsible for the whole human existence. We are the bedrock of it. We are the foundation of it. It's not politicians. It's not a bunch of educators. It's not a bunch of court judges. It's not a bunch of men and women in the economical world or the academic world. Mamas and daddies, fathers and mothers, We are the source of society. We are the bedrock of society. And I want to say it till it rests on everybody's head. Now, as God and Jesus is central to spiritual existence, again, I remind you, the mother and father are bedrock and essential to family life, to societal life. It has got to be understood. Now, the lasting common sense in our world is the union of a husband and wife. The lasting, the best, the most wonderful common sense in all the world is the joy of a father and a mother. Let me tell you something. A father and mother who understands who they are, what their duties are, they can enjoy, they will enjoy just being together. Just being together. Just being a father and being a mother. All the different duties, supplying for your children, getting them an education, having pleasure together, having joyous times together. Husbands and their children, mothers and their children. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, there's nothing about life that's more wonderful than a husband and wife that love one another. There's nothing more wonderful. There's nothing more wonderful than a father and mother who enjoy their children and then their grandchildren and then their great, I got three great grandchildren and they're so beautiful and they are so precious. And just to get my hands on them is like a little bit of heaven itself. Now that's what life ought to be. Fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers. And I don't want to live long enough to be a great-great-grandfather. I can promise you that. I want to go to heaven soon to be with my sweetheart. But I'm going to tell you, friend, the family is important. It is important. It is just common sense. It's really the lasting common sense in our world is a father and a mother, a dad and a mom. A grandfather. I mean, it's the common sense of life. It's the joy of life. It's the foundation of life. Homes. We go all over our little world. And what do we find everywhere we go? Homes. It may be little cottages or it may be mansions on a hillside. It may be an expensive, rich place, or it may just be a very common place. And that makes very little difference in how happy there is those people who live in that home. It really makes very little difference. You can be happier sometimes in a little cottage than you can be in a mansion. And I just say, let's make our love relationships, our husband and wife relationships, our fathers and mothers, let's make that the bedrock of our world. One of the happiest occasions that any of us ever participate in. What is it? What did you rather do than go to a wedding? What had you rather do than go to a wedding of two people, maybe one person in some cases? You may not even know the second one, but you know one or the other, or you know both, and you love them, and you go to their wedding, and it's such an occasion of joy. It's such an occasion of the highest honor is to be invited to the wedding of those you love. Now, friend, you understand what I'm trying to get to your head. I'm trying to get in your head and let you feel the bedrock truth of a man and a woman, a father and a mother, a husband and a wife. I'm telling you, it is the joy of life, and I hope you get that. Now, daddies, fathers, hear me. You can make the greater difference in that home. You can make the greater difference in that home. How many wives eventually leave their husbands because he didn't have time for her? He didn't take time for her. He didn't care a lick about her, except maybe to go to bed once in a while. And so he's a selfish old man. Then he wonders why he finally lost his wife. In many cases, it's because the husband didn't have enough common sense to show his wife he cared about her. Now turn that around. We could turn that around. We could take the wife, the mother. We put this pretty close to the same situation, but that's not my subject today. I'm talking to you men. I'm talking to you men. I'm trying to get you men out of your wimpiness. I'm trying to get you men to grow up and act like men and become a man. Really become a man. That leads me to the next scripture that I've got to share with you. It's in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I mean, this scripture will overwhelm you. It really will. 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 12. second chapter, second King, Samuel, second Samuel, chapter 10 and verse 12. I hope I got the right one here. I can tell you that right now. Chapter 10 and verse 12, or either chapter 12 and verse 10. You know, when you get to be a human, an older man, sometimes it gets amazing to me. It really does. But the Word of God is so powerful. The Word of God will change your life. I hope I can find this, because it's really too powerful to leave out of this broadcast. It really is. Let's go and see if I can find it. 12 and 10. I'm declaring I will have to find that, because I've got to get it to you and read it to you, because it will affect your life. And I'll find it and get back to it. Because men, it's time you became strong. It's time. Oh, wait a minute. I was in the wrong book. I knew it was something wrong. And here I am. And now we are right there. Chapter 10 of 2 Samuel, verse 12. Be of good courage. Just listen to this now. Be of good courage. And let us play the man. Let us play the man. Be of good courage. Let us play the man for our people and for our cities of our God. Let us be of good courage and be the man. Play the man. Act like a man. Oh, how important this is. And for the cities of our God and the Lord, do that which seems good. And the Lord do that. And the Lord do that which seems him good. God is going to be good. God is going to treat you good. Oh, that's beautiful. Remember now, 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12, be of good courage and let us play the part of the man. Let us play the man is how he actually says it. Let us play the man for our people and for our cities of our God. Come on, fellas, let's play the man. I mean, just act up like you should and be a man. You can be a man. You know, there's probably nobody out there, if I could challenge you rightly, that you couldn't become a decent, good man. That you couldn't change everything about your home and your marriage and your life. Woo! I got so much to say to you, and I want to say it all. Now, I want you to get involved with me. I want you on the telephone, 704-391-0588. I'll put up the number so you can see it for a moment. Put up the number now, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. I want some calls. I want you to talk with me about the things I'm saying to you. And I want to hear your opinion. I want to hear you ask any question. Don't mind asking me a toughie. If I can't answer, it won't embarrass me. I promise you that. It will not embarrass me. So, please call 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. And I'm going to take that down, because I want to be able to see straight to you. And I want to get you men's attention. I really do want to get you men's attention. You got to understand that there's nothing in the world more beautiful than a good man. And I want to tell you something. Two pair of pants in the master bedroom doesn't set the tone for the right education in a home. Two pair of pants in the master bedroom does not set the tone for the right kind of a family and the right kind of a home. And don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget that. It is very, very important. It is very important. Now, why are there so many wimpy men in our world? I want to talk about wimpy men for a minute. Do you know most people cannot stand a wimpy man that walks around like he's walking on high heels? The only people that can stand a wimpy man is Jezebel women. I promise you that. The only men, only people that can stand a wimpy man is a Jezebel woman. A wimpy man is a disgrace. He really is. It's terrible to look at a man and you can tell he doesn't know what he is. I've embarrassed myself a time or two asking men what they were when I saw them, and I couldn't figure out what they were. And I tried to find something to ask them, and then I'd ask the wrong thing. One time I really did ask the wrong thing. But I'm here to tell you You know, the truth of it is, when you're what you ought to be, nobody will have any problem telling what you are. When you are what you ought to be, nobody will have any problem telling what you are. Don't forget that statement. Pretty good. It just come out of the top of my head. But if you're really what you are, nobody will have any problems telling what you are. I mean, it'll be evident. It'll be very clear. Be strong, man. Be strong. Be humble. Don't just be strong. Be humble with your strength. Oh, nothing worse again than an old chauvinistic man who is bullheaded and he is so masterful and he is so strong. He rules the roost like he's the major rooster in the world. Come on, man. Humble yourself. Be gentle. Be kind. Be loving. Be merciful. Be forgiving. When you've got to correct somebody, correct them with love, with niceness, with tenderness. Now, you say, you've been a little strong. Well, I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to get the men of America and really of the world to come to the front and to be men like they ought to be. The Bible says that on different occasions. Be men. Be strong. Be what you ought to be. Don't be wimpy. Don't be embarrassed by standing up for what is right. People say to me a lot of times, Brother Chambers, you're so strong. No, I don't mean to be anything but truthful. I don't mean to do anything but bring you the truth and somehow help you. Now, I don't want you to forget, the most important thing I can say to you today is love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Now, I've got five things that a man ought to be. Five things that a man ought to be. I'm going to read a scripture in a minute from Proverbs about the ladies, because they are extremely important to us. I hope you men out there love your wives like I have loved my wife. It's been such a joy to me. Any sacrifice I needed to make, I made delightfully, because she was mine and I was hers, and we cared so deeply for one another. Now, let me give you five things that a man needs to learn. One, step up. Step forward. Step courageously. Start acting like you are a leader. The Bible says the husband is the head of the marriage. The husband is the head of the woman. If you make your wife do all the correcting of the children in our home, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Because when your wife corrects the children, it ought to be a reflection of your correction of those children. I always told my wife, when you've got to correct one of those children, you tell them, now I'm correcting you because Dad's not here. But when Dad gets home, I'm going to tell him what I corrected you about and what I corrected you for. And then we together are going to decide what we need to do. I'll never forget, my wife found some cigarettes in my son's pocket one day when he came home from school. And she said, I'll give them to me. I'll give them to Dad when he comes in. Well, when Dad came in, I took my son to the bedroom. And I said, now, son, I always wanted to raise a child that never smoked, a son that never smoked. And you have broken that desire and that goal of mine, but I'm going to correct you. I'm going to correct you well. And I remember, you need to throw those cigarettes away. He said, Dad, throw them away for me. I said, oh, no, I'm not throwing them away for you. You throw them away for yourself. And I took my belt and I used it as I should have. And I don't think he ever smoked another one. I really don't. I would be disappointed to think he did, but I don't think he did. I believe in being a leader. I believe in stepping up. I believe in initiating a leadership kind of way. If you work at a place, you're a man, and you work at a place, and every time you can get caught up, you want to go somewhere and sit down, you're never going to get far with that company. But if you work at a place, and you do your job, and you get caught up, and every time you get caught up, you look for something to do. You go find the boss man. You go find somebody who can give you something to do, and you start working your way in that place of business. You start being a faithful worker. You don't break no rules, and you don't in any way put down your leaders, and you be a good, you'll probably go up in that company, and one day you may just be the boss man. One day you could become the owner. There's been many people who became the owners of businesses. They started working as a janitor in some secondary position, and they were faithful. So step up, man. Be a man. See, this really applies to everything of your life, men. It applies to everything you are. Be an honest man. Be a dependable man. Make sure your word is your bond. If you promise somebody something, you do it at all costs. You do it at all expense, and you do it faithfully, and you do it faithfully. If you get treated wrong, you treat the person who treated you wrong forgiven, and you forgive them, and you go on. Right always prevails. This is something I told my children all their life. Right always prevails. Now, I got to have some calls. I've been talking too long. So grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884, the local number, 704-391-0588. 391-0588. Call quickly now. Number two, remember number one, was step up. I mean, be a man. Act like a man. Conduct yourself like a man. One day someone called on the program and said, I've got a wimpy sounding voice. What should I do? I said, go out in the woods and scream until you're so hoarse that you talk like a man. And then keep that up the rest of your life. Be a man. Every circumstance, be a man. I hope you hear that. Then, speak out and do not be silent in the midst of sin. When things are wrong, when things are sinful, when things are out of order, when things are not right, in the right order now. You know what your order is. You know who the boss is. You know the right order to follow, and you've always got to follow the right order. You understand that? But in the right order, do not be silent when there is sin. Do not be silent. It is a sin to be silent when there is sin. It is a sin to be silent when there is sin, when you're in the presence of wrong. Be courageous, fear God, and speak the truth in love. I'm talking about speaking out. Don't ever open your mouth without putting your head in gear. See, if you open your mouth before you put your brain in gear, you're going to say the wrong things. But if you put your brain in gear and then open your mouth after you've thought your way through it, or maybe prayed your way through it, or at least considered all the circumstances, or maybe hear some of the things that you didn't already know about when you heard or saw what you heard or saw. Always speak out. Be willing to speak out. Now stand strong. When you take a stand, be courageous. If somebody criticizes you and you know you're right, just stand kind and stand strong and don't back down. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about men that are real men, that want to be real men. Now, again, I go back to my foundation. A real man will love his wife even as Christ loved the church. You can't be a real man if you don't love your wife. You cannot be a real man if you don't love your wife rightly. I'm being honest with you. I believe that is the bottom round of a good man, is he loves his wife even as Christ loved the church. And then there's much else to go with it. There really is much else to go with it. Now again, the number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. How many out there, as I'm talking, really appreciate a picture of a good, strong, godly man? How many of you like the idea of strong fathers and strong grandfathers? How many of you like the idea of men who do their job and do it rightly and do it correctly and do it as they should do it? Now, the phone number, I want to hear from you, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want your calls right now. If you disagree, call and tell me, will you? How many of you will call and tell me? If you see, if I'm wrong and you know what's right and you don't call and tell me, you're missing your responsibility. You really are. And if you don't understand all I've said and you need a little help in understanding it, a little additional instruction, I want to share it with you. Because there's probably plenty of others who will get something out of it also. And it will be good for them. It will be good to them. So grab your phone. Now, remember, stand up. I mean, stand up. Step forward. Do what's right. Be strong. Be dedicated. Be courageous. Be passionate about the things that your life consists of. from being a good husband to being a good boss man or being a good laborer or being a good a sweeper. Whatever you do, do it with all your might and do it right. And I'm telling you, then speak up. Be willing to say what needs to be said. And then start being strong in the things that you are. Don't be a wimp. Don't let yourself be wimpy. Don't let yourself back down when the facts need to be said, when action needs to be taken. I mean, in the political fight in America, look at what's happening. Look at what our president has gone through to do some of the greatest things that a president has done in my lifetime. And look at the people who are just literally ready to slaughter him and to destroy him. You know why they're ready to destroy him? For the very things I'm talking about today. Here's a president who's a man. Here's a president who will speak out. He will stand up. He will fight back. He's not gonna wimp out and go somewhere and hide and you know, be a crybaby because he's got enemies out there. No. He's going to send a tweet out early in the morning and say, "You're wrong, sir, and here's what's right." And I like it. You may not like it, but I like a president that's a man. I've always been determined to be a man as a pastor, determined to be a man as a father, determined to be a man as a husband. And I've done my best. I'm just a little guy compared to many people. Had a fellow walked up in our parking lot some time ago, and he was about twice as big as I am. And he had somebody with him that was bigger than I was. And I went out to stop him because this is a school. And I don't allow just strangers walking through our parking lot like it's a play day for them to loll around. And I went out and stopped him. And I'm standing in the driveway. And I say, "Sir, you fellas can't go through here. This is a school." And this big guy, he walked up in my face and said, "Who's going to stop us?" And I walk back a little closer to him. I mean, right against his big old chest. I'm looking at his shoulders, you know, because I'm a little guy. And I said, "Have you ever had hold of a Holy Ghost filled man?" That was my answer. That was my words to him. "Have you ever had hold of a Holy Ghost filled man?" And you know what that guy did? He turned and went the other way. And I don't blame him. I mean, I really don't blame him. I wasn't going to hurt him, but I was going to stop him. You know, and because we live in a world that's used to everybody being wimpy. They used to everybody backing down. We got a generation of boys and girls, a lot of young people, millennials in many cases, and they're stubborn as bulldogs. Nobody's going to tell them nothing. Well, they come around me, they're going to get told something. I'm going to do it nice, though. I'm going to be their friend. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to offer to pray with them. I'm going to offer to go buy their meal. I was in a restaurant the other day, and two boys came in, kind of rough-looking guys. In fact, they were rough-looking, and they were getting ready to buy breakfast. I said, "Hey, guys, I want to buy your breakfast this morning." And it blew those little fellas' minds. I mean, they were a different, you know, totally different nationality. In every way, they were different from me. I'm standing there dressed, you know, like a minister. They're standing there, you know, dressed like young people who have not been taught how to dress, you know. And I just treated them kind, bought their breakfast. So it was a joy. They promised it's going to come to church. Hadn't come yet, but I'll keep looking for them. I'm telling you, be strong. Let's stand up. Let's be what we ought to be and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. If ever we've had a generation of people serving the Lord, this is a generation that we need desperately to serve the Lord. Now, what have I said that you lack? I want somebody to call and just tell me what you lack that I've said. I want somebody to call and just say, "Hey, I agree with this. Hey, you see, I don't believe in fornication and adultery. I don't believe in being unfaithful to your husband and your wife. I don't believe in careless living. Careless treatment. We don't ordain men who have two living wives. We don't ordain elders who have two living wives. We believe this must be led in hell for men who have the highest of standards and who do right. And that's biblical. That is absolutely biblical. If you don't believe it, call me and I'll read the scripture to you. Okay? It's just that important for you to get the message that this generation needs men. I love that scripture in Samuel. Again, be of good courage. Did you hear that? Be of good courage. And let us play the man. Now, you don't mean play. He means let us be the man. Let us act the man. Let us be what we ought to be. Let us be the man for our people and for our cities of our God. Be a man for your people. You are Spanish, be a man for the Spanish people. You are Afro-American, be a man for the Afro-American. You are a white man like I am, be a man for the whites and the blacks and the Spanish. I mean, I don't care who you are. I'm going to love you. I care least about your color. I just care about you becoming a man. So be of good courage and be a man. Now, I want to take you to something that I think is so good to read for our women. In the book of Proverbs, you have one of the greatest passages in the Bible for ladies. You know, we live in a generation that a lot of places, they're saying to the women, you ought not to work. You ought to just stay at home. Well, you better go read your Bible, because that sure isn't biblical. Now, if you have the finances, you can do that. That's well and good. I have no problems with it. That's your business. But don't make it your doctrine, because it's not biblical. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Did you hear that? Who can find a virtuous woman? Well, I'm sorry to say, but in our generation, her price is far above rubies. I put this on Facebook this week, and Winston Churchill made the statement. He said the greatest accomplishment in his life was when he talked his wife into marrying him. I think that was the greatest accomplishment of my life. It's when I talked my Juanita into marrying me. I never forget. She was dating another young man. It was a nice young man. He was more handsome than me. He was larger than me, a little stronger than me, maybe a little more civilized than me. Because I was just a country boy, come off of a farm. My dad was an alcoholic, so I was rough around the edges. And I wanted Juanita. I fell in love with her. And I'll never forget the day when she turned and fell in love with me. It was the day I just celebrated, by the way, on the 26th. The day it happened was December the 26th, 1954. And I'd love to tell you about it, but I'd start squalling, so I better not try. Let me take this call. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Let me find my way here. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Yes, hey, buddy.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good.
Happy New Year to you. I'm glad somebody's standing up about the double married preachers and the wimps we got today. Somebody needs to say something about it, but nobody, if you say something about it, they jump all over you.
Well, you know, that don't bother me. I have to say the truth, or else I become a sinner myself. If I don't preach what's in this Bible, then I become a transgressor. And I'm not going to do that. And the Bible says very plainly, a minister, a God-appointed minister, an ordained minister, has to be the husband of one wife. And as some of them says, that means one at a time. That's hogwash. The Bible says what it means, and it means one and only one. Now, if your wife dies, you're free to marry again, but I don't want nobody. When the rapture takes place, I don't want Sister Chambers to have to look around some woman to find me. I want her to find me standing there saying, I'm waiting on you, baby.
Amen, bro.
Because I'll be waiting on her.
That's right, brother. I listened to what you said. You had never kissed but one woman, and that was Sister Juanita. You know, I know her. And then she was a real humble woman, and I appreciate you, Joe. I still appreciate you, brother.
Well, I had a wonderful wife, and I love her. And I'm getting a hold of myself. I had to start cooking her dishes to get myself back to sanity. And I'm finally, I think, almost back. And it's an overwhelming experience when an 82-year-old, be 82 January the 19th, when a man that old loses the woman of his youth. The wife of his youth. She was the wife of my youth. I was 19. She was 20. When she died, I was 81. She was 82. Turned 83 November the 3rd. And she loved me with all of her heart. And I loved her with all of my heart. You know, and there's nothing like that. Nothing like that. And those are the kind of men we need. We got men all over the country now, double married, triple married, quadruple married, and still preaching. And the churches that allow that are just as wrong as the preachers themselves.
That's right. Thank you, brother.
God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
Give us a call out there, friend. It doesn't matter to me the question. I mean, this subject is overwhelming. And you've heard what I've said. And I've been as plain as I know how to be. We don't need wimpy men today leading our families. We don't need wimpy men in the pulpit. We need men who will get up there and say, "Now, folks, I'm bringing you a message today from the Word of God straight, and I'm not saying this to get at nobody. I'm not trying to cut anybody down. I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm preaching for you. I'm preaching for you because I love you, and I want you to hear the truth." And that's what I'm doing for my audience right here. Every one of you listening to me all over the globe, I want you to hear me. I love you. I'm preaching for you. I'm not preaching to cut you down. I'm not preaching to put you in your place. I'm not preaching because I'm smarter than you. I just believe this Bible. I'm telling you what the book said. And when you stand before God, you will answer to the book. And anywhere you disobeyed this book, you will answer to God. And the Bible said, "He that commits one sin is guilty of all." You can go to hell for just lying. You can go to hell for just committing adultery. You can go to hell for just being a fornicator. You can go to hell for just being a liar. I'm telling you, you've got to straighten up your life and do right, and make sure you're born again. Make sure the blood has washed you of your sins, and then live for Him. And you'll be a happy person. There's nothing more wonderful than living right. Now the lines are open. Now if we can go back to the Bible. But you get on your phone and call quickly. Now don't wait. I don't have but 12 minutes, 13 minutes. So get on your phone, 704-391-0588. Charlotte, wherever you're at, the eastern part of North Carolina, South Carolina, up in Maryland, up in Virginia, West Virginia, wherever you're at, give us a call. Let me hear from you. And then all over the world by Facebook and Internet. I am amazed at people who hear me all over this globe, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Europe, in South America, in South Africa. Oh, I'm delighted, and I just want to bring you the truth. Now, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Do you have a woman you can trust in? Do you have a woman you can trust in? Well, if you don't, you can't just leave her. You married her. You asked her to marry you. Now you go to work on loving her. And in prayer and in fasting, you help her change. You help her. She may be waiting for somebody to help her change. She may be waiting for somebody to love her like she's important to him. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh flax. A wool and flax, and worketh diligently or willingly with her hands. She works. There's nothing worse than an idle woman who just is walking around looking for some trouble to get into. And not always trouble, but I mean, be a person of devotion. She is like the merchant ship. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth a while, also while it is yet night. She gets up before the sun comes up. That's what it says. She gets up before the sun comes up and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Has your wife ever cooked you breakfast before you had to leave for work in the morning? Well, if she fulfills this scripture, she'll get up before the sun and make sure her husband is well fed and her children are off to school with food in their belly. Satisfied to have a good learning day and a good learning experience. I love that. She considers a field and buyeth it. This woman's out buying land. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Are you listening to me? She giveth, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that the merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. You read the last division of the Proverbs, the last chapter of the book of Proverbs, and then you live by that lady and watch your husband change. Watch the look on his face change. Honey, I didn't know you were so devoted to our home. I didn't know you were so willing to give your best. I thank you for that ham and eggs for breakfast this morning with grits and cheese toast, you know, and some good homemade jelly. My wife made the best strawberry, blackberry, raspberry jelly. My gracious, those things are beautiful. Those, I try to get her not to work anymore. So, Dad, I don't want to sit. I want to do some good things. Would you believe the date that she had a stroke that night and a heart attack? This was her, the last of her days. The day before, while she was on crutches, I came to the church to take care of something. She got up on her walker and went and washed my underclothes, washed my t-shirts, dried them, folded them, and put them back in the drawer. The day she had a heart attack and the day she had a stroke. And she was already, I mean, she just had surgery. She's not supposed to be up, but I slipped away for a minute. And she slips in there and does this. And I go then 2 days later to take a shower, wondering if I have any underclothes left. And I go and find them all in the drawer, beautifully folded. And I like to fell apart. See, those kind of lies, women and men, acting and living by the Bible. Now, I'm going to be talking for a few weeks on the foundation of the home. Rebuilding, rediscovering the biblical family. Rediscovering the biblical family. If you want to order this this notebook, it's $15. $15. And we will send you a copy. And we have it put it in larger print, so it's a 14, so we older people can read it. And we're just trying to be a blessing to you and help us rebuild our homes. The foundation of it is the husband that loves the mother. The husband, the father, that loves the mother. I want that to stick in your mind. I want that to get a hold of you, and you never forget it, fellas. Learn to love your wife. Honey, I want to learn to love you, but you know, you don't worry about how she acts. You act right. You take care of your responsibility. You be a good man. You be a good husband. Quit being such a wimp. Will you listen to me? Quit being such a wimp. Act like a man. Stand strong. Raise your shoulders. Go to work like a man. There's so many men out there today that won't half work. They lose one job after another simply because the boss men can't get them to do their duty. They'll come in late and leave early. They'll look for every chance they can to slip to the bathroom and spend extra time anywhere hiding from their responsibility. Come on, fellas, let's be men. Put your shoulder to the task and do it with all your heart. Well, how many of you really like me? Anybody out there like me? Have I said things that will help you? You may like me for what I've said to somebody else. I want you to like me for what I've said to you. Because there's so many men that do not love. Some of the saddest things I've ever heard, and I've heard this quite often, is here's a man, his wife gets sick. She's got to have somebody to care for her every hour. And he leaves her. He says, I can't handle this. I'm gone. And he disappears in her sickness. Or the children, there's a heartbreak in the children. I can't handle this. I'm leaving. How many men today in this world have shown themselves just that kind of failure? And it's really sad to talk about. It breaks my heart to have to mention it. But it's big time today. Big time today. And I say it's time to chin up. It's time to man up. It's time to become strong. It's time to be, and you'll be the winner. My wife loved me with all of her heart. And I give a little credit of that to my loving her with all my heart. Because how do you not love a man that loves you with all of his heart, that does everything he can do? And how do you not love a woman like I had, who does everything she can do? I'll never forget, about 3 years ago, we both got the flu at the same time. And I mean, we had it rough. We had it the tough way. And we both had it for a week. And we was taking care of each other. And it was kind of a joy for each of us, being as sick as we were, doing what we could for the other and taking care of the other. And neither one of us never let down our part of the bargain and never let down our part of the relationship. That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it ought to be, and that's how you can make it. And if you make it that way, sir, you will be the winner. I'm telling you, if I could take every man listening to me, and I could explain to you what will be the benefits. There's so much of it I can't even repeat because it's too personal. It's too personal. When you are a real loving father, loving husband, the wife will love you in return. I don't think it's possible in 98% of the cases for a woman not to love a man that loves her like Jesus loves the church. 98% of the cases, I would say there's not a man, there's not a woman who will reject her husband or who will become a bad wife if her husband loves her like Christ loves the church. That's the bottom line. That's the rule. That's nothing acceptable less than you loving your wife as Christ loved the church. Now remember, I started this program with some ideas I want you to remember. Our family life, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, we are the bedrock of the human society. We are the bedrock of the human world. We are the bedrock of our nations. We are the bedrock of our countries. We are the bedrock of our cities. We're the bedrock of our churches. We're the bedrock of our communities. Everything in our world depends on good men who are good fathers and good women who are good mothers and who play that out in the whole of their life. I'm telling you, we are the bedrock of society. We are the bedrock of society. Just like God and Jesus are the bedrock of the spiritual world, husbands and wives, men, fathers and mothers are the bedrock of the human society. Now, if we quit having children, if dads and moms quit having children, in 100 years, the human race will be extinct. In 100 years, now barring the intervention by God, barring the rapture, barring the things that God himself does, if it would be possible, I know it isn't possible. I'm talking about something that if it were possible for fathers and mothers worldwide to quit having children in 100 years, the human race would be extinct. Now think about that. Think about what we mean, we fathers and we mothers, we grandfathers and we grandmothers. And now I'm a great grandfather. My wife was a great grandmother. Think about what society would be without us. All of us fathers and mothers. And nobody having children. Everybody fornicating, using birth control. And nothing wrong with using birth control. I'm not coming against that. But having abortions. And all the things that go. My dear friend, I'm here to tell you. Hear me. Hear me when I say society cannot exist without fathers and mothers. Society cannot exist without fathers and mothers. We are the bedrock. We're the foundation. We maintain it. Are you hearing me? Now, let's get with it and do our job. Let's get in this Bible and let's live it. Wives, love your husbands. Give your best to them. Husbands, you be the example. You love your wife with all of your heart. You be a good husband. You treat her rightly, sir. You treat her rightly, sir. You have no excuse if you don't. Now, I'd love to have you in church tonight. Tonight, we're having a great service with Brother Nicholas Martin is preaching. 6 o'clock is when we begin. 6 o'clock to 8:30, maybe 9, whatever. And we want you. No, six. Starts at 6, be over probably by 8. We'd love to have you in church tonight. No church tomorrow night because we go into Danville tomorrow after the morning Sunday school and the morning worship. I want to preach in the morning to you. Come in the morning and be here at 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 for preaching. Come tonight. It's 6 now. At 6 tonight. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's going to be good. Nicholas is a wonderful preacher. He's one of our teachers in our school. I love you. I love you. You are special. God bless your heart. Walk with God and he will walk with you. Do you hear me? Walk with God and he will walk with you.
Answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turning, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry and answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turning, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer. And in a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Oh, the mists of sin may rise and hide the starry sky, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Oh, now let us have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turning, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
I may have doubts and fears,
my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. And I can go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, now let us have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turning, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our trouble. Hear our faintest cry and answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will turning, you'll know a little fire is burning. You'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.